Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
It's Straight Outta Cobham, a show about Chelsea FC from The Athletic. On this episode, defeating Turin as Chelsea blunted in attack again, Saints come marching / jogging in, quiz-based shenanigans and more. Available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic, this is Straight Outta Cobham. Hello again, listener. Sorry to be coming at you after another 1-0 defeat. It's me, Matt Davis Adams, joined by Sam Parkin.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Sam. And making his triumphant return to the pod, The Athletic's Chelsea correspondent, Simon Johnson. Hi, Simon.
Hey.
Triumphant is your middle name. All right. Chelsea not triumphant in Italy, unfortunately. Let's reflect on that game.
Well, the opportunity here for Chiesa. What a finish!
We were so good yesterday in training and not good enough, not free enough today. I don't know why, but it was a thing for the whole team. I felt us a bit slow, tired, slow and mentally slow for decision making. And that's why it's a bit a strange one to analyze, but okay.
Juventus 1, Chelsea 0 then. The Blues slipping to a second successive defeat to nil. Federico Chiesa's goal 11 seconds after half-time did the damage on another night when Chelsea failed to create much and were wayward with their finishing when chances did come. Our man in Turin was Dom Fifield. He sent us this report from the stadium mere moments after the whistle had blown for the final time.
The final whistle has just sounded here at the Allianz Stadium. And it's the Juventus supporters celebrating a hard-fought 1-0 success. Chelsea departing the pitch, exasperated and beaten. Chelsea had most of the ball, more of the attempts by the end. We still return home defeated and deflated. A second successive loss after Saturday's defeat to Manchester City should not end up undermining their Champions League defence too much. There's plenty of winnable games still to come. But this was still a quite significant moment, nevertheless. It was a match that might actually end up being remembered for the Mourinho-esque triple substitution around the hour mark from Thomas Tuchel. The moment the head coach's patience seems to snap. The moment he decided it was time for a radical change. Almost a changing of the guard. Having started with no Englishman in his starting 11, the first time Chelsea had done that since the 2019 UEFA Super Cup, Tuchel flung on five in the second half in a bid to inject some pace and urgency into a plod of a performance. All to no avail in the end, for all that Callum Hudson-Odoi flung over plenty of crosses from the right. Ruben Loftus-Cheek pushed forward with purpose and Ben Chilwell was far more incisive with his running down the left. Even Ross Barkley got his run out in the end and set up Romelu Lukaku for one of the Belgians' more clear-cut chances, only for the strike to blaze over the bar. He, like his teammates, ended up a picture of frustration. This game had really exploded into life after the interval, the teams having played out quite an even opening period, with Chelsea monopolising the ball but struggling to inject any pace to unsettle resolute opponents. Tuchel had sought to address that by hauling off the ineffective Marcus Alonso at the break, but as it was, his team were caught cold 11 seconds after the interval, when building up from Juve's kick-off, Federico Chiesa smashed a shot into the top corner via a slight deflection of Antonio Rudiger. Chiesa was probably the best attacking talent on the pitch all night and ultimately proved the difference between the two teams. With Kai Havertz missing late headers, Chelsea ended up beaten.
Comprehensive, Simon, from Dom in Turin. And to kind of add some more colour to that, I thought Chelsea started pretty well in this game, but a familiar pattern to what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, just lacking something in that final third and struggling to get Romelu Lukaku involved in the game.
Yeah, I thought Juventus did a very good job of isolating Lukaku, or certainly blocking the pathway to him, the kind of passes that he wants to thrive on. And he had a tough enough job as it was against that very experienced rear guard. I think one of the issues that's really sort of become noticeable compared to sort of Lukaku in the first few weeks and Lukaku in the last week or two is that the interplay between him and the two number 10s has really diminished. I was very optimistic. And still am. It's a stumbling block. Let's not get too doom and gloom. But I was very optimistic with the way that Mason Mount and Havertz and Lukaku seem to be gelling quite quickly. When you sort of think back to the Arsenal game and a touch of the Liverpool game, etc. But that interplay seems to have stopped, and Lukaku's becoming a very isolated man. I thought Juventus did a great job of frustrating him, and therefore with Ziyech and Havertz not having good games behind him, Chelsea were quite sort of nullified, really. They were just passing the ball sideways and for long periods, so even though they had a lot of possession, they didn't really do very much with it.
Stam, as our resident number 9, were you feeling sympathy with Lukaku, and is there anything that he can do to try and get a bit more involved, or is it all about the service coming into him?
I didn't feel sympathy for him. I think it was a really poor performance, first and foremost, but we could be sitting here this morning talking about a 1-1 had Lukaku taken that chance in the second half. And those are the fine margins. I thought that the front three were really poor. I thought it was eye of the needle stuff in the first half. And I thought he was a bit hesitant, Lukaku, when he received the ball around the box. And I thought Havertz was a little bit over-elaborate. I thought he took one too many touches on a number of occasions when they were in promising positions in the first half. But I thought, as a trio, that they were really off it last night. And obviously, when people become available again, the manager's got great options to change that. I mean, Mount has been a huge miss. And I think Pulisic really comes into the reckoning as well, because they've got different attributes. I think Havertz and Ziyech possibly in the same team are too similar. And I felt that was obvious last night. And down the left-hand side, where Ziyech pulls over to alongside Alonso, such a lack of intensity, a lack of pace. It wasn't for the want of trying from Ziyech's perspective, but it just didn't come off for him last night. So a lot of food for thought for the manager. But I think we have to call for calm at this point. You know, it's a couple of performances where Lukaku's looked a little bit short, but he's shown enough in the Chelsea shirt already to show that he's going to be a real asset. And it's just getting that combination right around him. I think that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, and on that, Simon, here's a question that's coming via Twitter from Ben, who says, noticing an issue with our attacking play this season, seems too predictable and slow. Has the Ziyech experiment come to an end? Not a bad player, but doesn't seem to be working for him and doesn't feel like he's a fit for our football. Kai also struggling, just too passive. Would you agree with that?
Ziyech, it feels like he's never really got started at Chelsea. There's always seems to have been any sort of flash of form. There's been a setback. And of course, you sort of think back to pre-season where he was looking really good and then got injured in the Super Cup. But you have to say he hasn't delivered. There was so much hope and expectation. It was games like last night, that's why he was bought. That X factor, that sort of ability to thread a pass through the eye of a needle, that sort of class. And it's quite damning that Ross Barkley was the one that produced the best pass of the night for Lukaku. That should have been Ziyech's job. And he really can't complain if he is left out when players are returning to fitness, because, you know, that was a prime opportunity. He scored some key goals sort of back in the last season, but overall he's not really got going. But for me, the biggest disappointment is Kai Havertz. I actually was asked at the start of the season as part of a piece, you know, prediction of the season, who's going to be, and one of the subjects was who's going to be your star player of the season. And I put down Kai Havertz. Now, look, there's a long way to go, but he's been very underwhelming so far. Like, I really thought that the confidence that he would have been given from being Chelsea's Champions League hero from Porto would have really sort of kicked him on to another gear, because he's clearly got lots of talent. But in games like last night, where he's losing the ball too easily, and of course everyone talks about his body language, it doesn't look good when he's sort of this sort of kind of morose character sometimes, and losing the ball so comfortably. So it is a concern for Tuchel that you've got two of your sort of number 10 options not at their best by any means. And I think it gives, certainly Mason Mount, I think he's a shoo-in for when he's returning to fitness, which hopefully will be the Southampton game. But if you're Timo Werner, you're going to be sitting there thinking, OK, it may not have worked out for me against Man City, but as a number 10, a left-sided number 10 to combine with Lukaku, perhaps he's a bit of a better option right now. And of course, as Sam mentioned, Christian Pulisic, when he gets back to fitness as well.
Forgive me if this isn't the best comparison, but Havertz and Ziyech had four touches in the opposition's box last night, of which two I think were speculative headers. I know a different system, but Gabriel Jesus and Jack Grealish had 25 touches in Chelsea's box at the weekend. So, you know, I don't think they're not getting up and beyond Lukaku enough. Lukaku had 10 touches in the opponent's box last night. So you could say that, you know, he received it in some decent positions, but I just felt that chemistry was lacking there. And again, I go back to the point where maybe Ziyech and Havertz are just wanting, yes, they need to receive the ball to feet, but are they a little bit too similar in this format right now?
In terms of the team that started, we mentioned a few names there. Tuchel wants to know, what was the thinking behind starting most of the players who toiled against City, leaving Callum Chilwell and Werner on the bench and playing Azpilicueta at right wing back for a second game running at his age? I guess part of it, Simon, was because of the absentees. Thomas Tuchel obviously felt that was the strongest 11 available to him, but it wasn't as if many players had shone against Manchester City, so maybe slightly surprising. Certainly not to see Chilwell start and Hudson-Odoi too, possibly, although he's not been in great form.
Yeah, certainly the Chilwell thing is dragged on long enough now for it to be very, very strange. You know, Tuchel was asked about it recently and sort of talked about how Chilwell's been struggling since the summer and how he's treated by England. But I don't see how not playing him is going to improve his mental and his frame of mind. Alonso was very poor against Man City, and I was very surprised, despite his good start to the season, that he was rewarded with another run out against Juventus. And it was really noticeable that lack of speed, as Sam alluded to, on the left-hand side, it really was a factor. And I think Chilwell wasn't great when he came on, but I thought it was better. There was a bit more spark in the attack. I think Chelsea as well, you know, were missing the likes of Conte and Mount. They're the two that sort of, like, I think would have really injected some energy. Jorginho and Kovacic, they've had a couple of ropey performances now after a very bright start to the season. Kovacic was almost Juventus' best player in the first half with the way he gave it away in two very vulnerable positions. On the bright side, if we look on the bright side, the subs did make an impact. And that's something that the best hope that they've got of forcing their way into the side, if you're not in the team, is to come on a sub and make an impact. And I thought they all did. But I don't think whatever Hudson-Odoi does, I don't think it's ever going to be enough for him to force his way into Tuchel's first 11. I just think he doesn't trust him.
Yeah, on the subs, Sam, Dave wanted us to end on a high note and says it's great to see a sharp Ruben and Barkley looking highly motivated. It's quite incredible, the turnaround for those two players in particular, isn't it? Because, you know, Barkley was maybe going to go to Inter Miami, was the only place that showed any kind of interest in him, if you believe reports. And he looked miles away from the Chelsea first team, but he came on and was arguably Chelsea's best player from the time that he was on the pitch. And Ruben really pushing for a start now as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, there was immediately more purpose about Chelsea's play. There was more willingness to go forward. I wouldn't say necessarily to take risks. I felt it was still too rigid. You know, I wanted to see someone produce some individual skill, a midfield player to come out of the shape and run beyond that I've already spoken of. So I felt that was a feature that remained for the 90 minutes. But in terms of the zip on the passing, it was moving around quicker. And Hudson-Odoi put a few decent balls into the box, yes. On Ruben Loftus-Cheek, I just think the trust to put him in a different position. You know, it looked like maybe after that brilliant performance against Aston Villa, he'd be that deep line player and we'd be able to trust him in that role. But to go and play as an eight for a period last night, I thought was encouraging for him. And Barkley as well came on and showed some lovely touches and a great show of faith to put Trevor Chalobah on in holding midfield as well. We've not seen him, I don't think, play that role maybe in Chelsea's first team. So there were some definite positives there. Loftus-Cheek surely has to be right at the forefront of the manager's mind moving forward for Southampton. I'd love to see him play. If he's going to play the two sixes, stick him in there. Give Jorginho or Kovacic a rest, 100%. I think both of those two laboured a little bit last night and I think played a big part in the goal as well. I think both midfield players switched off. Certainly if Jorginho's position would have been a bit better, that could have been avoided. And obviously the two centre-halves didn't cover themselves in glory either. But yeah, I think Ruben's right there now knocking on the door. And I agree with Simon. As much as I want Callum Hudson-Odoi to be a success, I just don't think that position is going to suit him. I think, you know, when he gets doubled up on the right-hand side, I don't think he has that real electric pace to be able to get to the byline. I think he's much more comfortable coming in off the other side when he can start a little bit further forward. So his opportunities are going to be limited, going to continue to be limited, which is a shame, but I kind of understand in this role because he's still not quite doing enough for me.
Well, defeat in Turin unlikely to be terminal for Chelsea's Champions League hopes this season. They're back in Premier League action on Saturday. We'll look ahead to the visit of Southampton to Stamford Bridge next.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Chelsea back at the Bridge on Saturday then. They take on the Southampton side, still waiting for their first league win of the season. They did hold Man City to a draw at the Etihad a fortnight ago. Southampton-wise then, Simon, I guess it's fairly safe to assume they'll just be rolling out that blueprint again, will they? And say, well, this worked for us a couple of weeks ago at the Champions, so let's do it at the Champions of Europe.
Yeah, and also they would have taken great interest in how Juventus were able to stifle Chelsea so easily. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Tino Livramento. What a fantastic start he's made to life in the Premier League. Chelsea wanted to keep him, did their best to convince him to sign a new contract, but it just shows that he made the right call. He chose the chances of playing the Premier League over sort of the prospect of making it at the European Champions. Chelsea have a buyback clause, and already you can imagine people at Chelsea are thinking, thank goodness we inserted that buyback clause, because, he looks an absolutely fantastic talent. No surprise to many people at Chelsea, but I think there's an element of surprise just how well he's settled in to life at St Mary's Stadium.
So Chelsea likely to be, well, they will be without Kante and James Doubts over Mount and Pulisic for this game. Sam, we had lots of questions coming in on Twitter asking if it was time to switch to a back four. Would you be thinking about that for this game? And would there be any particular personnel changes that you'd be making were you the man with TT emblazoned on his lovely tracksuit top?
I don't envisage this being the game he chooses to change to a back four, but I think it's going to have to be an option moving forward, something to have in his armoury, and the players will need, I suppose, an opportunity in a game situation to practice that. So maybe that will come in one of the cup competitions. I mean, I think there was a lot of talk about, you know, what the system was against Aston Villa. To me, it still looked like the same back three. But I think there'll probably be an opportunity, maybe in a cup competition, to roll out a different system, which would see maybe Hudson-Odoi playing a preferred position for one and maybe one or two others. But I wouldn't see it for this game. I don't know. Maybe Werner comes into the reckoning. Is two goals against Southampton last year? Is that, have I gone mad or was that? Yeah. So potentially that could be something that they look at. But if any of the guys that missed the other day are fit, you know, I think Mount, Pulisic, James, obviously Kante's not going to be available, but those guys immediately come back into the reckoning. And I'd like to see Loftus-Cheek given a game, especially in this fixture. It's a fixture Chelsea should win. Yes, Southampton will probably try and press the life out of Chelsea as they did against Manchester City. When it works, the system under Hasenhüttl, it's very difficult when they're on song to counteract it. But Chelsea should have no problems in that regard. So, yeah, I'd like to see a few changes for this game because I think it's necessary after the laboured display in the week.
It is an important game for Chelsea going into that international break just to ease the nerves a little bit. I can imagine the atmosphere might be a little bit tense, particularly if it carries on being 0-0 for a while. The strange thing is no one's questioning Thomas Tuchel, but if there is sort of one sort of question mark, he said contradicting himself, it is this ability to come from behind. Like Chelsea's defensive record is phenomenal, and that's why they've been able to do so well under Tuchel, and that basically if Chelsea score first, it's almost game over. You can practically guarantee it. But there is this sort of issue of that they've only come from behind once to win a game, and that was at Man City in the Premier League last season. And it, you know, it took a few things going their way. And it's all really well sort of playing this very safe system when you're in front. But when you need to chase a game, it does seem to me that Chelsea, therefore, that the lack of attacking players on the pitch then becomes an issue because Chelsea have such a defensive setup. Because you wouldn't say like Jorginho and Kovacic, despite Kovacic's improved form at the start of the season, they're not the most creative midfielders. They tend to be sort of more controlling the pace of play. And if the wing backs aren't getting forward, suddenly the onus on those front three to create a bit of magic comes even more under scrutiny. And I don't think Chelsea have that player that can beat a man, you know, to produce that bit of magic, which I think Sam talked about earlier. And we saw a little bit of Hudson-Odoi at Juventus, didn't we? He got past the fullback a couple of times, but that's why it then becomes so much pressure on the passing game to come good. And if you can stop the supply to Lukaku, then suddenly Chelsea can get nullified. So anyway, it's my long-winded way of saying Chelsea need to win on Saturday.
It's a good point there, though, that you asked me about the system, Matt, and Thomas Tuchel's hand may be forced in a fixture. If they go behind, for example, need to get another forward on the pitch, then maybe he'll go to the back four just to get, you know, four players across the front. So it may happen that way. I felt last night, yes, there was little alterations in terms of just finishing with Kovacic and Barkley and Loftus-Cheek in front. So there was a little bit of change in the shape there. But I think, you know, invariably in matches, sometimes the manager's hand is forced when you have to get more attacking players on the pitch, and that could come when they're chasing a deficit. So I'm sure we'll see the back four at some point, but I don't necessarily think it'd be from the start.
3-3 when these two met at Stamford Bridge last season. Chelsea 2-0 and 3-1 up, only to concede in stoppage time. At that point, Chelsea were in the midst of a 17-game unbeaten run under Frank Lampard. Things have changed. It's a big game, as we've mentioned, particularly given that Liverpool and City are playing each other this weekend. Chelsea's run does look a little kinder, starting with this game. Following Southampton, it's Brentford away, tricky. Norwich at home, Newcastle away and Burnley at home. So hopefully they can play themselves back into form. Elsewhere in Chelsea news, better news for the women's team, who thrashed Birmingham 4-0 in the quarterfinals of last season's FA Cup on Wednesday night. Fran Kirby scored twice, Pernilla Harder and Sam Kerr also found the net. All three of those players had scored against Man United on Sunday. All three came off the bench here as Emma Hayes made 8 changes to her lineup. Bethany England missed the first half pen. Took Chelsea more than an hour to make the breakthrough. Sets up a semi-final away to Manchester City. They play Brighton at home in the league at the weekend. Remember, they lost to them in that fixture last season. The men's first team, not the only Chelsea side to lose to Juventus on Wednesday. The under-19s went down 3-1 to their Italian counterparts. Jay Wareham got the Chelsea goal. That was in the UEFA Youth League. The under-23s host Blackburn at Cobham on Sunday, and the under-18s are also at home. They take on West Ham on Saturday. Right, listener, you know what comes just after Elsewhere in Chelsea News and just before the plugs on our Thursday pods, don't you? Yeah, it's quiz time. 3 questions per contestant, vaguely Southampton related. Simon's already got his head in his hands. I'm backing you this week, Si. You're going to get the first question as well. Earlier, we spoke about the 3-3 draw between Chelsea and Southampton at the Bridge last season. I want to know which player made his final league appearance under Frank Lampard in that game?
Oh no.
He didn't have a particularly good game.
Don't give him a clue.
There were quite a few that didn't have a good game that day.
That's true, yeah, yeah. A good quiz is a quick quiz, as somebody once said.
No, I don't know.
Sam, can you steal?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
It feels very early for this, but I'll have to go for Alonso.
That is incorrect. The answer was Kepa Arrizabalaga. Which, you know, think about it, he chucked like 2 goals.
I didn't hear the question properly. I thought you said last... I thought you said last ever appearance for Chelsea.
No, no. Well,
so it pays to actually listen to the question. Yeah, I would have.
It
yes,
does, yeah. Never 0 mind. For 1 then, Si. Let's see if Sam can do any better. He's got a really serious question to start with. Southampton are managed by the Austrian Ralf Hasenhüttl. But what does the Saints boss's surname translate to in English?
I've probably heard it, but I can't get it. I'll go for Wild Goose.
Ooh, it's not far off. Simon, can you steal?
Wild Bear.
I mean, it's not far off in that it's animal related. Hasenhüttl means rabbit hutch. His name is Ralph Rabbit Hutch,
which has got to be
one of the greatest things in English football today, I think. Solid start as ever, guys. 0-0 after one each. Let's see how Simon gets on with question number two. Oh dear, I've written getting a bit tougher now. That's not a good sign, is it? the first Premier League meeting between Chelsea and Southampton came back on Boxing Day 1992. A 1-1 draw at the Bridge. Tell me, please, which former Chelsea defender was in the Saints lineup that day?
I'll go with, is it Ken Moncow?
It was Ken Moncow. You're on the boards.
Very good.
Yeah, good. Impressive that. Okay, Sam, yours is from a more recent game between the sides. Back in April 2017, former Blues Oriel Romeu and Ryan Bertram both scored for Southampton at Stamford Bridge. What was the final score in that game?
I have no idea. I'd much preferred the 1992 question. I'd have got that. I will go 4-2 Chelsea.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh, fair play.
One, incredible scene. All right, Simon, here's your last one. This is the kind of obscure...
It's not the followers one, is it?
It is, I'm afraid, yeah.
Not again.
The aforementioned Chelsea Academy Player of the Year, Tino Livramento, will likely line up for Southampton on Saturday. He's not a big Twitter guy, this from looking at his page. How many people do you think that Tino Livramento follows? So not follow, how many followers has he got? How many is he following? I'll give you a margin of, what should we say, 3.
Oh, so generous. I'm going to go with 58.
It's not, I'm afraid. Sam?
15.
Oh, you're closer, but you're both wrong. 23. Odd. Yeah, either do it or don't, Tino, I'd say. I quite like how Liam Gallagher follows nobody. That would be better. Anyway, Sam, you can win it if you get this right. But, I mean, if you do, I'll give you the money myself if there was any money. Question number 3. How many goals did Chelsea great Kerry Dixon score in his brief time at Southampton?
What's my window here?
You don't have a window, I'm afraid.
I was just thinking about Kerry Dixon because I thought this might come up. But I presume he played more for Luton. Oh, I don't know. I'll go for 4.
Simon, would you like to steal?
It wasn't that many more than that. Let's go. Was it high? I feel like this is playing cards. Higher or lower? Good game. A lot of people won't get that reference, will they?
We did, it's fine.
Although it wasn't a very good impression. I'm going to go 7.
7? No, you're both wrong, I'm afraid. It was 2. He only played 12 games. Much better at Luton than at the Saints. So that was 1-1, so we might as well not have bothered. Anyway, hopefully somebody out there enjoyed it. If not the contestants. Yeah, you build on that, can't you? It's a building block for next year. Yeah.
One more than Norwich. One more point than Norwich. Continue my Norwich reference from the last quiz.
Norwich agenda continues to pervade the pod in all forms. Simon, what have you got in the pipeline for Athletic subscribers to enjoy, please?
So I'm doing a piece on Rudiger and his sort of contract situation, just unveiling or trying to reveal sort of what is the exact situation. There's been a lot of speculation, the kind of numbers he's asking for, what the state of play is, who's interested in him, etc., etc. But also sort of making the correlation between him and Willian, really, and whether, sort of, unlike Willian, that Chelsea should actually accede to Rudiger's demands, given the contribution he makes to the club, both on the pitch and off it.
Yeah, pretty important figure around the training ground as well as on the pitch. Do check that out. Also, Dom's post-match piece from the Juventus Stadium is available to athletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to sign up if you aren't currently a subscriber. Sam, you are currently the hardest working man in all of football broadcasting. I bet you're at a game tonight. I bet you're at a game this weekend. Maybe 2 this weekend and a quest, something like that.
I'll continue my my quest to become Thomas Tuchel's London-based scout by visiting Tottenham tonight and Crystal Palace on Sunday.
Excellent.
Not Chelsea.
We'll be back on Monday when we'll be looking back on that game against Southampton and not looking ahead to a midweek game because it's an international break. Do join us for that if you can. Until then, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
The Athletic.